chapter, and there we learnt that it is our ego, born of the ignorance, that causes our activities, and thus we get bound by those activities too. That is the cause of bondage. And thus, if we can eliminate that, then we will be still working, but our works then will not create bondage for us. Normally, our works create bondage for us. We are quite aware of that. When we do something, that something creates its own result, and that becomes then another work for us. Then that makes for another work, that makes for another work. It is kind of a never-ending process. And we get entangled into so many different bondages because of that. Like a person keeps on worrying that let me take care of my daughter, my son, my children, and then I will be done. But before that is done, what happens? My grandchildren's care then becomes my responsibility. Then it kind of never ends, you see. There is no ending of the work at all in that sense. We keep on working, getting more and more entangled, keep on worrying. There is no reason to worry. Nothing changes by our worry. By worrying, the world does not change, only we lose sleep, that's all. It is the net result of worrying that what will happen to my grandchild. And keep on worrying. Nothing good happens to the grandchild, and nothing happens to anything, and only you destroy your sleep and your health. So more bondage gets created in life thereby. So it is the works never end in this fashion. We want to finish the work, is it not? Whenever we have some work, we want to get it finished. And then be free from it. But these are such works that they keep on generating more work for us. It is in our those mythological stories, there is therefore an allegory for this. There is the description of a demon in that 700 verses to Mother Durga. Durga Saptashati, a very well-known scripture. It is mythological in nature. We actually chant three verses from that every evening. And the last prayer to Divine Mother that we chant here are the three verses from that great text. So there it is described that there is a demon to be killed by this mother goddess Durga. But the trouble in killing that demon is, you try to hit it by your sword, and then the drops of blood fall from that demon's body. And with every drop, another demon of the same type, and the same demon gets generated with every drop of blood that falls. So you go to kill it, but you are not employing the proper means. That demon had the boon that with every drop of blood that will fall, another same type of demon will come up. Maybe some cloning technique or something was there, because that genetic information is there with every drop of blood. So the same demon gets again created there. So now, how to kill that demon? Our work is that kind of demon, you know. We want to finish it. But before one work is finished, three other works stand up, you see. Because we do not know how to perform them. We do not know how to do the work. A young student feels, let me finish my work, let me finish my this thing and get my degree. Once I get my bachelor's, then things will be all fine, then I will get a nice job, and then life will be all hunky-dory after that. Now, we know it doesn't work like that. It is every after you graduate, then so many things, what should I do, this or that, where is the opening, you don't see much openings, and then even if you see, then there are hurdles associated with that opening. So, you feel you should do master's or PhD, then goes on like that, you know, it is till you become old, this goes on, and if one is fortunate, then one, the truth dawns upon that person that I have been going in the wrong direction. This is not the way to finish the work. The way to finish the work, like the demon was finished ultimately by killing in such a way that no drop of blood will fall. So, it is like that we should do our work, so that we don't have to get bound by its results. So now, in this verse, very important verse, showing the psychology of how one gets bound, how one gets just entangled into the work, how the work that, if properly performed, can become a liberating instrument in life. That very work, instead of becoming a liberating instrument, becomes a binding instrument. What a terrible thing. It is like that. So, what is the way one should do work? Whose works do not bind the person? A person does work but doesn't bind. Who is that person? In the 19th verse of the 4th chapter that we are studying, you see the beautiful this description of that person. Yasya sarve samarambha kama sankalpa varjitaha jnanagni dagdha karmanam tamahu panditam budhaha. He, of course it is he, means not gender specific, he, she or included, whose actions are all free from the hankering for desires, whose actions have been burned by the fire of knowledge, him the wise call a sage. So here you see that the person who performs the actions, but those actions do not bind the person. And why is it that person has got some special features, like has four hands instead of two hands? Nothing like that. It is the question of knowledge. So it is said, what is the special feature in the works of that person which is not in our case? The special feature is those actions. The words used here are very significant words, samarambhaha. That all the actions that we begin, how are they propelled? There is a desire. A desire for pleasure or some such thing. Those desires, they make us plan accordingly. I want to see that beautiful white mountains. I want to go. I have heard the description and I want to go and see those white mountains. So, it is those who live there on the white mountains, they don't think that there is worth seeing anything there. But those who live away, in Florida, maybe they get the idea that there is something worth seeing. Those who live in White Mountains, they go to Florida to see. So these people want to go see White Mountains, those nice lakes and all that there. So, and they, what this person does, plans. Now the planning starts, I must go and see this. So, lot of work is done accordingly. And then the work required is so much that the person feels, why have I undertaken this? I was much better without that. So, but after all this, the momentum is generated, so the person ends up in White Mountains and stays there for a few days and comes back. Now what has happened? Now only seeing the White Mountains, whatever joy or whatever it has given, now that needs to be told to people, so calls this friend and that friend and all. Hey, I have brought lot of pictures, come on, see those. Because it is not, the work is not finished, you know. Seen White Mountains, is it over now? No, it is not over. The lot of things get generated through that. Moreover, when you come back, you have lot of pending work to be done. You have spent lot of money that again you have to get somehow. So it is, all those things are, they become the pending works. Then you have to justify to other people that how it was nice and going to the White Mountains. So that they won't call you fool, you know, that the fellow took so much trouble to go there. So you insist, you convince them, impress upon their mind that life is futile without going and seeing that place. So you ought to go there. So, and then in your mind what happens, that a hole gets created, that dissatisfaction. So you go and see another mountain, then white is over, there is green, black and all those. You go and see all those mountains in the world. And then nothing happens. So it is like that, the desires keep on mounting, creating pressures and creating never-ending work for you. You go and see then this museum, that zoo, that aquarium. You feel that, well, one this thing you saw, one aquarium, fine. Then nothing happened there, so you have to go and see another aquarium. So it is, even if you become fish, you see, doesn't matter. But it is... the desires are like that, you know, never ending. It goes on increasing more and more. So that is why this person can never finish the work. Goes on increasing more and more. This is not the way to finish the work. If you want to finish the work, then you have to have the trick. You have to understand how they can be finished. So, it is told, look, this person is, who is not having any of these desires, working without this word, kama sankalpa. Not exactly just desires, but there are in... Vedanta, there are different words to specify the different levels of desires. The modern psychology also has, therefore, different words for that. That there is just a vibration first, not really at the level of desire. Maybe I should do that, not a very strong one. But then one dwells on that, the mind keeps on coming to that again and again, making it stronger and stronger. In that, you have that high voltage generating mill, you know, that they again and again that pointer comes in the mill to that thing, and every time it goes on adding more and more potential, so that ultimately you can generate the voltage of million volts or something like that. So that mill, so our we work like that. First, that it is not really even worth calling a desire, just a titillating minor sensation. That okay, that's nice there, is it not? I should maybe right now I don't feel like, but maybe. But after a while, that comes again, deposits a little bit of more intensity to it, and before you know, it has come to a level where it becomes a strong motivating power now. Earlier it was weak, it was not able to govern your actions. The word desire becomes applicable when it is now able to govern your actions. Then it comes to a further level that is called here kama, that it becomes a passion, that now you cannot control it. Now you must act. You then brush aside all difficulties. Even if you people tell you it is too many problems and there is nothing worth getting from that, yet nothing can stop you now. You must go and get it done. So it is a very big impulse is created there, and thus that is what is called kama. Then you start planning, you know, how to do it. That is called sankalpa, that you want to do it, but it is not just wanting, but there is an active planning that gets generated with that. Like the example we gave, that you want to go someplace, you start planning that I must get the leave from my work, and then also I must get the proper ticket, I must make proper staying arrangements and so forth. So all those planning starts there. So, and that planning becomes another pressure generating thing, because once you have planned, now you feel you must do it, you see. Even though there are those, you start seeing the problems, but since now you have planned, you must execute it, because by the time you have already told for 10 people that you are going to do that, and if you don't do, you are worried, you know, we are worried about public opinions, that what then that person will tell me, say to me, this, they will tease me a little bit, there is that pressure also, so that momentum pushes you to do it, that is the sankalpa. So, this is kama sankalpa. So, this person's all works. This person works, but without any selfish or motivations, selfish motivations associated with it. No desires, no planning that is therefore associated with the desires. So, such person works. And what happens with this work? That his actions are burnt by the fire of knowledge. Such person's works are burnt by the fire of knowledge. Again, a very beautiful phrase that needs to be properly understood. What is this fire of knowledge? And what is the meaning of these actions being burnt? Actions being burnt means that these actions are not going to create any bondage for this person. These actions have lost the ability to create a bondage. So, to give you an example of a rope. A rope, if you burn the rope, they still you can see the twinings those on the rope, as if it is still there. But that rope cannot bind. It is not really rope. It is just ash kept there. It is not capable of binding. So similarly this person acts, there are the actions, but these actions are not capable of generating any bondage. And why? Because of the knowledge. What is this knowledge? Let us try to understand in the light of this, you know, our behavior and how ignorance prompts that behavior. The ignorance that I am this body and mind, and there is this world apart from me, and I am imperfect, the world can make me perfect. That ignorance makes us work. I look at, I am, you know, a poor man, so I feel that I can get some money from the world put into me, and then that will make me perfect. It is, and this goes on and on. It is a never-ending process. And thus, our works are generated by this. There is this cycle told that avidya means ignorance. Ignorance generates the desire, and desire propels the action. That again intensifies the ignorance. It goes, becomes a vicious cycle like this. In life, it becomes thus a vicious cycle. That the ignorance that I am imperfect, that is ignorance. I am perfect. Each of us is perfect. Each of us is divine. No person or no thing in the world has any capability of adding any happiness to us. Let us get rid of this terrible misunderstanding that some person or certain things, if I get those, that will make me happy. It is impossible, friends. It is, first of all, you do not require any happiness from outside. All happiness is within you. You are the source of all happiness. If you ponder over this, this statement is worth meditating. This is the scriptural statement that the nature of self, it says, this Atma is Ananda, the Self is Ananda Swarup, its nature is bliss. So it cannot be made blissful by adding anything. It is like you add sugar in things to make it sweet. And what are you going to make sugar sweet with? Can you add something to make sugar sweet? Well, sugar by its nature is sweet. When it is added into something, that thing, because of the association of sugar, becomes sweet. This world, all this material, because of your association, it looks happy. That cannot add any happiness to you. And this one has to learn. The earlier one learns, the better it is. We keep on making attempts. We think that I didn't try properly. I thought that I can get happiness from this girl. But that was my misunderstanding. Let me start looking for another girl. That is how, you see, it takes long time to know that no happiness in this way can ever be obtained. Because the source of happiness was always in each of us. No person. We keep on thinking like that. Oh, my life is so miserable because so and so has deserted me. Some time back a lady was complaining to me, what happens, you see, my friend has gone away, and then that has given such a blow in my life, all misery. If when the friend was there, it was a misery of another type. And now the friend is gone, it is substituted by the misery of other type, that's all. It is, the joy never came from there. One keeps on expecting that association of this will bring me joy. Nothing can be farther from truth, friends. We are all intrinsically blissful. Intrinsically blissful. Let us know this. This, because we do not know this, all our actions, they become motivated by these passions. And because these passions, these desires never get fulfilled, there is no way of fulfilling it by this method. It is, and thus we become further miserable and try therefore to do more and more and more to get that fulfillment, that satisfaction, that happiness. It is not possible. I gave many times those examples that we are seeing our own reflection in this mirror called world. World is just our reflection, you see. We are not seeing anything else but our reflection and feel that let me get happiness from there. Can we get it from the reflection? It is reflection, it is seen there, but nothing can be gotten there. So we make attempt again and again, our hands get, hit by the glass. Sometimes we hit too hard and the glass breaks and we get wounded. That also does not always teach us. We repair the mirror and again do the same thing. You see, put another glass there. Because we always see that the world has to be set right. The problem is with the world. That let me make the world nice, fill it with sweet and honey, and thus then life will be so nice. It cannot be done like that. In fact, these two facts, two things need to be seen. It cannot be done like that. But when you look at yourself, you know that it need not be done at all. You are the source of all happiness. It is when you see reflection there, you know the thing that is reflected is exactly in the opposite direction, is it not? Then the mirror, it is there, and so reflection is there. So where is the thing? Exactly in the opposite direction. So turn, and that is becoming spiritual. Turning, that is the beginning of religious life, that turning, you know. That is the real conversion spoken of by the Bible. What is really conversion? Conversion is this turning. Instead of looking at the material, to fulfill yourself, you turn your attention away from that and towards your real nature. And that is the beginning of one's spiritual life. It is described in the scriptures, like in the Bible you read that Jesus tells those fishermen catching the fish. Those who became his disciples. Hey, come on, come with me. And they dropped the net there and followed Jesus. So this is conversion. That we have to drop this net, that is all this looking for satisfaction by this fondling the world. It is not going to be there at all. That is doing the net, you know. Take again and again. Go on doing it. You won't get satisfied there. Turn and follow Jesus. Follow this advice of sages. And thus that becomes then the true path. So now the nature of action changes once the knowledge dawns. Now you know that nothing needs to be obtained, nothing needs to be gotten from the world, all desires, and thus the planning coming out of the desires, that is all gone. The person doesn't become inactive in the physical or mental sense of the term. The person is active, does lot of works. In fact, so much of real work is done by such people that ordinary people cannot think of doing that much of work. Who has done more work than Buddha or Jesus or Vivekananda? Think of that. You know, how much work they have done. We just keep on sweating without working, you see. It is not much work, you see. It is, what, where is the output? Nothing. Most of it is just spent in worrying, you know. A lot of worries and lot of running about, very little is accomplished. Lot of sweat comes out, that's all. So, it is like that. So, he says there, the knowledge has burnt all the, these binding nature of the actions. And does the actions continue? But now it is without any bondage. See what a great state. And that is where you see the glory of such persons free from any bondage. When we do work, it is, we get bound, these desires. They keep on dragging us more and more. As Swami Vivekananda in that beautiful poem says, "Thine is the hand that holds the rope and that drags thee on." We say that, well, I am being dragged in this world. I am being just taken here, there, everywhere without my wishes. Oh, I am being dragged. Well, who is dragging? Thine is the hand that is holding the rope. And thus you are getting dragged and blaming others. Give up thy hold, sannyasin bold, say Om Tat Sat Om, a great poem, Song of Sannyasin. Give up thy hold, give up that hold of this rope, and it will stop dragging you. It will go on, but it will not affect you anymore. The works will go on, the world will go on. It will not affect you. Just as when you are seeing a movie and you are not aware that it is not just something shown on the screen, you feel that it is really happening right in front of you. And then you think that, wow, that fellow is murdering this another fellow. Let me stop. So you get up from the chair and try to stop that fellow from murdering. This becomes your action because you see that as real. And when you know that it is a movie, you know that it is not real. Only screen is there. Nothing is actually happening there. So, you watch it without getting caught in it. So, not that when you see the world like that, you become inactive. You do. Everything then gets prompted by only one motive, to do good to others. There is absolutely no other motive. It is just to serve others. That becomes the only purpose of continuing with life. So this is the nature of this person. And then that person is called a sage. A saint or a sage, wise people call that person a sage. A saint is not somebody who shows miracles. That is not at all the definition you will find in Vedanta. And it is, in fact, if somebody is performing miracles, it is looked upon with scorn. That it is not at all the quality of a sage. A sage does not go to perform any miracle. It is doing something peculiar, something that others can't do, somebody is looking as dead, make that fellow alive. What a miracle. Well, magicians also do some such things. Magicians do many such things that you call miracles. It is, you can become a magician, not a saint. By doing all those miracles, somebody can tell the fortune of some level, I can tell you what's happening, and people say, oh, what a miracle. Well, that you may get some such power by practice or by some studies, one can achieve that power. That is not a miracle. It is all these things, they appear as miracle as long as you do not understand the logic behind it. When you understand the science behind it, it ceases to be a miracle. Like you pick up your cell phone, you are driving, and from your call, you call a friend in Japan and talk to that fellow now. Now those who do not know how it's happening, it's a miracle. Wow, this fellow has the power to speak from here directly in Japan. A clairvoyance. It is when you understand the science behind it, it becomes trivial. Otherwise, well, miracles. But does it make anybody a saint? No. These miracles never go to make saints. What goes to make saint? This purity of heart, being free from all desires, being free from all selfish motives, that goes to make saint. And why this person is not selfish? Because this person is seeing that he or she alone is everywhere in the universe. One self is there in all different bodies. It is just as you do not feel, nobody ever thinks also in that term, that right hand feels, that is in the left hand, let me have it, why should the left hand have it, let me have it. It is never thought like that. It is impossible to get such a feeling, because the same one being is in the left hand as well as in right hand. If left hand gets a cut, right hand doesn't need to be sent a special request, you know. Hey, please apply some ointment, take care of it. Right hand also doesn't feel, hey, look, I have done such a wonderful service, and the left hand is not saying even thanks to me. It is all silly ideas, you know. Hands never feel that, well, why should we do lot or so much work and this mouth alone gets to eat? Nobody even gets this idea. Why? Why this has disappeared? Because you know that it is one being that is pervading this body. Now, a difference between a sage and an ordinary person is that the sage sees the same being filling each and every body. Now therefore, there is no selfishness there. So that is why now no action sticks to that person when this knowledge has dawned. And this knowledge has to dawn. Without that there is no escape for us. We, today or tomorrow, the delay, more delay we do, it will take longer. If you are going in the wrong direction, driving in the wrong direction, you have to come and retrace your steps, because otherwise you won't get to the destination. So, the earlier one starts understanding this and takes about turn and goes in the right direction, the better. Otherwise, you have to trace, spend more time, more energy. So, therefore, it is told that this is the nature of the wise person. Now, why it is told? This is an example, a role model. So, you have to mold. Each of us, therefore, need to mold our actions in that fashion. That let us, therefore, learn to work without selfish motives. That will then generate this knowledge gradually in us. It is a two-prong attack that is to be done over this disease. What is this? Firstly, let us remember this truth that there is one self pervading the whole existence. And second important thing is, so remembering this truth, let us convert our actions in the light of this truth. So, therefore, immediately the actions will not take that form. Not that today I read this Bhagavad Gita and just immediately from now on my actions start taking shape like this. It doesn't work that easily because already lot of momentum in the opposite direction is there. So that needs to be gradually cut. It is many times people hear this after the class, some person tells, Swami, oh wow, what a new light I got today, no? I am a completely changed person now. That changed person stays only till they comes down the steps, you know. Then, after that, it is the same thing again. Why? Because it is not that just listening once or twice or three times and it changes the whole life like that. One has to make conscientious efforts, you know, to control the momentum generated. It is just as even when you know that you are going in the wrong direction, you cannot just turn your wheels and the car will just get smashed, you see. It is, you cannot do like that. You have to reduce the speed, apply the brakes and see how you can turn. So our actions need to be, therefore, properly controlled in the light of this knowledge. So that is the next verse that describes the characteristics of this person's day-to-day actions. That this person is, how is that person? We shall not discuss that today, but we will just read the verse and the meaning, and we can discuss it in the next class, which would be the last class before we break for the summer. It is last Bhagavad Gita class. Then we shall, by the grace of God, if God permits, we shall continue the study when we reopen after the summer break. So, Tyaktva karma phala sangam nitya tripto nirashrayah karmanyabhipravrittopi naiva kinchit karoti sah. Renouncing the attachment for action and its fruit, ever contented and without any refuge, he does not do anything even though engaged in action. Even though engaged in action, he does not do anything. Like Swami Vivekananda was doing all these actions, so much of activity. You see, it is hard to imagine also for an ordinary person that how one man can do so much work, tremendous work. Quantity-wise, quality-wise, tremendous work. And yet, his calm never got disturbed because he said, I have no work under the sun. I have no work. It is that is the calmness produced by knowledge. He knew that his body keeps on working. It is, that's all. I am all pervading reality. It is the works, therefore, take a very different shape. Sri Ramakrishna always used to tell this about Narendranath, who later on took the monastic vows and became Vivekananda, that this Narendranath, there is always the fire of knowledge burning in him. So, this he used to say in certain context. When there people used to bring lot of different food items to Sri Ramakrishna and request him to take. Now, there were so many devotees coming there, and Sri Ramakrishna himself never could take those things, and he would forbid any other devotee to even to touch it. It is only one person was to be given all that, and that was this Narendranath. And why? And Sri Ramakrishna said that there is the burning fire of knowledge in him. All this gets burnt in it. No blemish attaches to Narendra even if he eats those things. Those things were offered to Sri Ramakrishna by people with lot of desires associated. That if I offer this to Sri Ramakrishna, then my that angina problem will be over, or my I will get a job, or I will have this and this and this thing settled, lawsuit will get in my favor. All those desires would make people do worship and bring that food. Now, those desires, they are there, so Sri Ramakrishna would forbid any devotee to take that, because then that would be a bondage for them. And so, that food is associated with those desires. It is mixed with those desires. But with Narendranath, nothing is going to touch Narendranath. So whatever, even if he eats that, nothing is going to happen to him. He used to say that Narendranath is like a sword taken out of the sheath. Just unsheathes sharp sword, and the ignorance gets just cut by it. No ignorance can touch Narendranath. So that was the reason, you know, that how the actions become inactions. Now the person does the normal activities. The actions do not change from outside. Not that other person walk on feet and this person then starts walking on the hands. No. The same way the actions seemingly continue, and yet these actions do not bind this person because of the knowledge. So, we shall continue discussion in the coming Friday. Any questions? Yes, Chet?
Question, Swami, will combine two different ideas. You say the outer world is a reflection of the inner self.
Yeah.
And we say the inner self is perfect. So why then do we see blemishes or things that need to be fixed or things in the outer world when it's a reflection of something that's perfect?
Very good question, you know. Well, let me stretch the analogy. After all, your question is just about the analogy. It is, the reflection is reversed, you know. So, in the reflection of perfect is not perfect. The perfect is standing there, but the reflection becomes all full of imperfections, because it gets all reversed. Therefore, that is what is called maya or delusion. Everything starts seeing then in the reverse way, you know, that like Patanjali describes it in Yoga Sutras, that which is source of bondage and gets seen as the source of freedom. The source of suffering starts getting seen as the source of happiness. The source that which is not at all good or pure or beautiful, that gets seen as very nice, pure, beautiful like that. It is ashuchi, anitya, ashuchi, dukkha, anatmasu, sukha, shuchi, nitya, sukha, shuchi, atma, anubhuti, iti, this thing, iti, avidya. He says this is the definition of avidya, that what is really impure, you know it to be impure, but you see that as pure because of this ignorance, like the body. What is this body? It is all the dirt filled in it. If you look at it, then you know it is not really very nice. Imagine, you know, if Dona is told that there is a bag filled with filth and urine and sputum and blood and bones and all that, then she'll say, no, it is. But that is the body, and we see, wow, how nice. One goes on craving for another body, you see. So it is like that. That is how the ignorance functions. It just reverses atasmin tad buddhi. That which is not so, you get that as if that is there. That is the nature of reflection. So therefore, you see all the opposite things there. So although the perfect is here, in the mirror what you see is the reflection of it. And thus, it is your sense of propriety, sense of what is right, gets completely distorted by what you see. And you go on trying, and therefore you get the reverse results also. It is the where you sought satisfaction, you get dissatisfaction. Where you sought bliss, you got suffering. What you thought to be the source of freedom, you got bound by that. So, that is how it is, the analogy of reflection is given for that. So let us conclude with the closing prayers.
Gita sugita kartavya kimanyat shastra vistarai ya swayam padmanabhasya mukha padmat vinasrita ekam shastram Devaki putra gitam eko devo Devaki putra eva eko mantrah tasya namaniyani karma pekam tasya devasya seva shri krishna arpanamastu.